Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I am Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander. It's almost New Year, Wayne. Sorry.
Happy New Year. I hope it's better than, well, we always say that, right? Exactly. Anyway, a long show for you tonight, I hope, depending on how the lungs hold out. But let's talk about with Orlando. So much going on down there at the AKC National Championship. Just a great classic event. Lots of educational opportunities. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Yellow hills. Well, hello there, young William. How the heck are you? It's been a couple of years, it seems like. How are you, bud?
I'm great, Wayne. It has been a couple of years. It's been a couple of weeks, and you know.
Yeah, I missed you. Missed you down in Orlando and missed you here in the Ethernet.
But next year, I'm going to be there because just in case I can get my picture taken with Wayne Kevin.
That was so funny. Of course, I didn't expect it all. It was just, and you found that picture, which is even better. For those who don't know what you were talking about, Will does his top 10 thing. I did get, by the way, plenty of people in Orlando saying, hey, let us in on the whole story and the last names. So in regards to that, Will has a top 10. And the top 10 reason to go to Orlando was to have your picture taken with me. But he had his picture taken with me and Doug Holloway. And it's a great picture. And that really is the funny part of the whole thing. And I miss Doug. I'm going to have to apologize ahead of time. I'm just getting over a little pneumonia. So there's going to be some.
A little pneumonia. Just a little pneumonia.
Yeah, a little bit of cough in there. I'll try to back off the microphone when I do. Anyway, our buddy Doug Holloway's in the picture. And of course, we love him dearly and wish him the best down there in Florida. He couldn't make it to Orlando this year, but his presence was there, that's for sure. Love you, Doug.
Yeah, I love you
too. So, what did you do that weekend? Did you stay home?
Stayed home. That's the week I purged my house. Yeah, I went from room to room, and anything I hadn't used in the last year went to the Salvation Army. Do you have a Salvation Army down there?
Yeah.
I went to Salvation Army. So I took about 5 loads of Salvation Army. And it's very cleansing. It's very, you know, yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah, when we moved from the big place, that was a year's worth of purging. And they actually sent flat trucks to our house, the Goodwill and Salvation Army actually sent flat trucks to the house. That's how much stuff. And that was a monthly thing.
It builds
and it
up.
It felt great. Yeah, it felt
it sure
great.
Does.
It just takes a load off. There's something about that. There's a woman that has a show. I'm sure most people know her name. I don't. But she tells you something about you picking up, and if you don't love it or something, I don't know, you throw it away. And it's about decluttering, and it became usually popular. And a lot of it is how you feel mentally after. It's just like a
no question. Then you I did this room and things around it, and you like just sitting there going, oh look, everything's kind of in order now.
Yeah, except you couldn't find your notes for the show, right?
I am wondering, I send Salvation Army. And they're going, oh, notes to some podcast. Someone was listening.
I've got a missing set of notes myself. I don't have any idea where they are. But we've got lots of
conversations. You were in Orlando.
I was. It's an extraordinary event. Unfortunately, when you sign up for too many seminars, you don't get to see much of it until. Now, with that said, I did play hooky. I had seminars on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And after lunch on, I think, Thursday and Friday, I came out of the lunchroom and Ted Eubank, who a great buddy and good guy, was there from Cavaliers. And we'd been in a lot of seminars together. So we met in the hall, we're chatting. And he's looking down the escalator to where the dog show was. And I'm like, what do you think, Ted? make a break for it. So we we did not get credit for our last seminar, but we made it to the dog show where we probably learned just as much, if not more. So it's busy. And I would never do the 3-a-day seminars again.
Yeah,
that's from 8 a.m. till 5:30 at night. And it's all you can do to get back to your room, especially when, when your lungs aren't great. And
I'm sure it's so hard sitting there knowing the dog show is happening too. And you're pointer's in right now. Oh, something's in right now. You know,
that's the hardest part. Well, for sure. And this is not, it's not that the Wednesday, Thursday shows are little. There are 4,000 dogs there, 4,500 dogs. So you really want to get down there. And I'm not going to do that again. But the seminars are an interesting, first of all, the flight down. I always fly first class to Orlando because it's going to be flooded. And I love my granddaughter and I love kids in general, but not on planes. And sorry.
I'm not going to make you laugh. Never mind.
Yeah. And so I always fly first class down there and I sit and all seats are filled except row one. And we're all hunkered down and tired and ready to have a little nap and our breakfast. In comes a family, mother and father and two little kids in first class. Now, there should be a law against that, Will. If you want to sit in first class, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
No. I'm just a grumpy old man. The kids were excellent. All my fears were for naught. They had their electronic Valium, the screens that parents give kids to shut them up.
Yep.
And they just stared into the world of horror and fantasy for 2 hours and all was well. And then you get to the show and I stayed at the Hyatt for the first time. I usually stay across the street at the Rosen Center. And I had to find my way to the Skywalk to get over to the show. It's a bridge, above the ground thing that goes over the road, which is wonderful. Except that night on the way back, I think I ended up somewhere in Tallahassee. I'm not sure where it was. I think I take another flight back to the But after that sorted out, it was fine. Nice hotel, great restaurants.
For sure.
And I did get out to dinner with Ken and Clay, Ken Murray and Clay Cody. The last night went to Capitol Grill and had a lovely meal there. But that's really it. I ate in my room, every night.
Oh, because you get tired. But I mean, it was fun going hanging out with Clay and Kenny, though.
Oh, we had a great time.
It was fun.
We watched Clay do Labradors, which was fun to watch. He had a giant entry, 140 or something, and maybe 120, whatever it was. It was big. And they were all good ones, too.
Yeah.
We watched when Clay and Ken and I had dinner, we watched it on my phone set up against
all the groups and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we get it too.
And I think it's a little tiny grandstand there for the groups. And not many people stay because the TV is good. The angles are good. The camera work is great. And you can see the dogs, as good as you could, probably in the grandstands. I don't know.
Yeah. But sometimes also, better.
And I think it reminds me that when you have such good breed entries and such depth of quality, it's 4 deep at the breed rings. That's what it's all about. And this is a dog show that proves it. You can't, it's so good to sit around those breed rings. And by group time, you've had enough good dogs. You don't need to stay for the groups. That's the icing on the cake. That's the candy. And, this show proves it. It was packed at every ring because there were so many good dogs. And, when you have 5-6 specials that all could go on to go best in show that night, that's what it's all about. It's wonderful.
I remember the year I was there and you were there as well. We would just say, well, English Setters are 11. Let's meet at English Setters. Oh, Beagles are at social. Let's meet at Beagles. Oh, yep. And then we did. We just went all day long from ring to ring. Like we have different interests. So we weren't always at the same ring. But remember, we met up and sat and watched. It was actually Clay do those standard poodles. How much fun was that?
I learned a lot that day.
And, 30 specials. And just watching him sort through them. That was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And Clay sure is a good dog judge, and it's fun to watch him. I got to watch English Setters with Elliot Weiss. It's just sort of our annual tradition down there. I love to sit and watch English Setters with Elliot. There's real passion about it. And, of course, get a pedigree on that one. Who's that one, Brayboy? Who's that? And Gail Bonacu was there with us, too, who's a terrific dog person, you know, and so bright and so fun. And the three of us had a good time watching Setters together. And Janelle, of course, Janelle Rosen, Elliot's wife. That's her breed. You know, she loves those English Setters. And she started in Deerhounds and Wolfhounds, but they have Setters now. And so much fun to talk among us about the dogs in the ring.
Don't you love it that someone like Elliot, who is he's given his whole life to this sport, still has that passion for his breed?
Yep, I do. I
noticed that. We have a show after Christmas up here in Canada. It's called Elora Gorge. And I noticed that this weekend, Bob and Elaine Whitney are up here, and they're both in their 80s. But they still show their Cavaliers, and I watch them. They have a new dog. He was in the States for a while. They bred and they brought him back. He's like, they were getting him ready, and they had some class stuff. And it was just the two of them, but they could see them orchestrating things, and it was still so important to them, you know, to get the dogs in the ring as best they can. And I hope I still have that passion when I get to that point, because. God, there's no stopping Mom Whitney. She just marches around that ring like she owns it still. So
I think we will. I think we will have that passion. I hope we do. I think we do. I don't think we can help it. I think it's in our DNA.
It made me feel so good watching the two of them this weekend. You know,
I'll bet. And Elliot and Janelle have some beautiful Pekingese from David Fitzpatrick, and they love those dogs, and they're really into those too. So plenty to learn from so many people, and. Plenty of people to talk to and discuss dogs with. There was an interesting thing in English Setters. Some person walked in with a bitch, and I went, "Oh, wait, who's that?" And I said, "Yeah, who's that?" You know. And we got the catalog out and looked. Didn't make any sense to me, whatever. And then a handler who we all know came in at the end and took her over. And I'm not sure how well she was being tracked until that moment.
Yeah.
But she was as good with the other person as she was with the famous handler. And she's beautiful. And there was a beautiful dog. And by the way, she was one of the beautiful bitches and many dogs. There was a half a dozen that could have won that breed under me. And Elliot too, I think. And not only that, we were looking for dogs. Elliot especially was looking for dogs to breed to.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't care if they won or not. You know, he's looking for dogs that have certain qualities that he likes or he needs. And it was fun to watch him and listen to him go through those dogs to see that's the one I want to breed to. I'm not sure he would have given the breed even, but that's the dog, you know, that's the kind of discussion I really like. Not, oh, look how well it's trimmed. Look how well it's presented. Look, it's really asking for it. I nailed the free stack, you know. Don't start me. But fine time was had by all. I wish I could have seen more of everything, but I did. You know, Saturday I was there, and from the very beginning until the group started, and then we went to dinner. But the seminars were, you know, they're 3-point seminars, and you need 10. This is for additional breeds. If you're applying to be an AKC judge for additional breeds, most breeds you need 10 points, some you need 5. And the biggest catch you can get is a 3-point seminar in Orlando. So a lot of people go for that. I go because I really like to learn. And it really matters who's giving the seminar. It also matters. There was a seminar I was not in. Where people were asking questions, the presenter said, "I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to answer that." And I talked to them. They said the club gave them firm instructions: you stick to the script only, no editorial. What a shame! What a shame!
Yeah, I wonder what. Do you know what the question was? You remember the question?
Oh, they were just breed specific questions. Nothing, nothing dramatic. But he would look at his list and go, "Can't talk about that," which is just
make any sense.
It bothers me because I went to a seminar where the person that gave it, I did not agree with at all, but I got what he was saying. He just likes a different kind than I did. And I got what he was saying. I have no problem with him giving his editorial opinions, at all. I prefer, and he was right on with the standard, obviously, in the history and all. That was great. He was a good presenter too. But at the end of the day, the dogs that he liked were not the ones I liked. They were just different. And sure, they both would meet, I guess, the standard, but it was your interpretation of bone and substance in moderation that was the topic. And that's subjective. So I like that banter back and forth. And,
well, I think it's important. I think that's such an important process of the learning, of the learning process. So even at dogs, because we were talking about that this weekend, where a few of us were sitting around talking, and how we used to talk about, like, if you had a new dog, I could talk to you about your dog, and I could even tell you I didn't like about that dog. That didn't mean I didn't like your dog.
Right.
You dare bring up that kind of topic now with people at dog shows, they shut you down. Oh, you don't like my dog? Oh, you don't like my dog? Mm-hmm. I didn't say
that. Your friends at so-and-so. Yeah. Yeah. That's ridiculous. I went and found another breed expert in that breed and said, hey, this is what I would have done with those four, because they had dogs there, or six. What about you? She goes, I was there in the back watching. I would have done exactly what you did. I wouldn't have done what he did. Doesn't mean one of us is right or wrong. And that's the point. If you have passion for the breed and you're presenting, you're going to give your slant. You know, and sure, most people, the good ones that give the seminars, tell you that right up front. This is just my read on this, you know. Some of the materials were excellent. The Borzoi Club, man, that was superb. And I can tell you, the guy that did, I'm gonna mess up his last name, but Corey, he had grown.
Oh, with the PBGBs, yeah. Or the GBGBs, the bigger dogs, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, he was good.
Great. He works for Pro Plan. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, he is. And a good teacher and good speaker. Yeah. Kitty Seidel was good. I mean, there's a bunch of them that were good. And it really does depend on the dogs you get. You know, PVGVs, we didn't get a whole lot of good dogs to look at. In fact, we didn't get any that would have been, you know, really good. We had a couple good ones. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
There wasn't one that you could say, this is the best part I've ever seen on this breed, that kind of thing. Warren Grons, we did. And that's not the presenter's fault. That's who feels like, and there were people who ran from one end of the building, which is a big building, to the other, after showing their dog, to get there just in time, panting and heaving for us to see their dog. Because there's two parts. For people who haven't been in the seminar, I'm painting you the wrong picture. First, you sit in the classroom and you get coughed on by disrespectful, ignorant people. And I'd like to find them all and line them up right now. By the way, if you're coughing consistently down someone's neck, get out, put a mask on, or leave.
Yes.
10 people sick. You know, it's just unbelievable. But they had to have those 3 points. Not about learning. It was about making everybody else sick so they could sign their stupid piece of paper. And I'm sick of it. Anyway, you sit in the classroom for the first part, and then you go into another room and you sort out 6 dogs. Or 8 or 4, wherever they bring. Usually they try to get 6. You each have a clipboard and you write your comments independently on each dog. Now, I can tell you that this has happened to me every time I go to a seminar. Anybody who's been around a little bit, you'll find I was talking to another judge who's been around and is learning a new breed. He's a great dog person. And I said, where all the people go? And he said, turn around. They were all standing over, looking over our shoulder at our clipboard to see what we wrote. So I don't know if they're to learn or not, but some people certainly are there to learn and had great questions. You can almost have someone sit in the back of that classroom. Not almost. You can have someone sit in the back of that classroom. And after listening to the questions certain people ask, just red flag their name. Can't have this breed.
Yeah.
Some of the questions were just unbelievable. I don't want to tell you any because it'll identify the people, but oh my. Yeah, red line, out. Well, so then you go to this room and you sort through them, and then they never quite tell you because there's no right or wrong. But then the presenter at different levels interpret it differently and will tell you what their choices were or just listen to you. And that's the fun part. when people say, okay, who liked Dog A? And someone will raise their hand and have their clipboard and read everything. And you think, there was one in, I can't, it'll give it away, but there's one feature of Abe Reed. There's a feature of Reed that requires a 30 degree angle to their croup. It's very specific about the length and degree of that croup. There was one dog in there with a dead flat croup. And this person says, first thing, I like A because it had a beautiful flat croup and top line. Okay, red pencil.
I remember a story. When I worked for Bobby Stebbins, I won't say the judge, I won't say anything, I won't even say the breed, but Bobby wasn't showing in the breed, but a very prominent dog was in the breed. And there was a lovely dog of that, one of the best ones I'd ever seen at that point in my life of that breed. And the judge judged the breed and put up another dog. And Bob, out of nowhere, just walked up and said, can I ask you a question? Of course you can. What was your determining factor when you decided to choose that dog over that dog? And the judge said, well, I preferred the tail set on this dog over that dog. And Bob said, well, that's probably why you shouldn't judge this breed. And just walked away.
Yeah. It was enlightening. Yeah. Extremely enlightening. But, of course, there were some real good students in there, too.
Oh, sure. But
the Borzoi Club, I mean, the materials they had presented, and it's really bothering me that I can't, the name of the person who gave it was extraordinarily good. But the club had presented, she presented this slideshow all over the world. And you could tell there were 10 billion slides and she got through them without a hitch. And it was really a whirlwind of good knowledge. And a lot of them handed out USB drives, you know, thumb drives and other materials that were really helpful if you wanted to, you know, learn. You can't tell who learned and who didn't, and you can't tell who should get the points and who shouldn't.
No.
That's the problem sometimes, is trying to be fair. Try to be fair to everyone. You're fair to no one. You're not fair to the people who are learning, and you're certainly not fair to the people who are never going to learn and are going to go in there and make fools of themselves.
Right.
But well, it's just part.
Everybody tries to. We try so hard not to offend people. And people aren't learning because of it. Like, I this weekend I was at a small dog show this weekend, and these things happened. A very good friend of mine asked me what they thought I would do in the situation. A couple asked them to come and evaluate their breed, their puppies, and she's very deep in that breed, so it was a good choice to ask. So I'll give them that. But the dogs weren't very good. And she was really worried about what she was going to say. Was she going to, because she didn't want to hurt their feelings. I said, you have to. I said, you have to be totally honest. I said, you can sugarcoat it. You can say, oh, they've got this and this. But, you know, they're not going to learn otherwise. If you just go out and just stay general and they don't get a take on what they really have, they're never going to learn. And then she said something about the dog that went off, got like a 3-point major.
Of course.
Right? Like, what do you do? What do you do?
There was, it was interesting to see how people reacted when they were ranking. It's almost unfair to have 6-month-old puppies in there with 4-year-old adults.
Yeah.
As far as the judging goes, people take that clipboard thing as a contest to getting it right instead of trying to listen and learn about each description.
Yeah.
But there's a, you know, there was a bloodhound puppy in there. I think it's going to be a great one. Who knows? But of course, he just looked like an unruly puppy. And how would you like to have 25 people go over you? Well, maybe you would like that, Will. I'm talking about your dog. So here's youngsters in there. You know, novices sometimes will bring their dogs, or dogs that have just been shown 10 times in 4 days. And they've got to come in there and have 25 to 30 more people going over them.
Yeah, it's hard.
And there are people who want to show you how to do it. There was people who get in there on short-coated breeds and they dig in every muscle and full. And I'm like, please, if you can't see a greyhound from back here,
you know,
they want to show you what they learned. And oh man, I would just pat the poor dog on the head and sit
back. Those people are called chiropractors.
No offense, Doc. No offense.
No offense, Doc. Well, you get some judges that are, they're giving your dog an examination. They're chiropractors.
You know? They want to show you how much they know. Well, if you knew anything, you'd stand back 20 feet and tell a greyhound shape.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, the first slide they put up, I couldn't help myself. It was a picture that I know, and everybody should know it if you're studying greyhounds. Everybody should have already known this. And does anybody know who it is? And I said, yeah, it's Punky. That's Corky from Westminster. And there was no picture of Corky. You just knew the dog and you knew who would go with him. And no one knew what I was talking about. Well, if you don't know who she is and you don't know that picture, need to do your homework before you come to the seminar.
Well, it's almost like they should have a history lesson before they're allowed to apply for the breed.
Yeah.
Even to know the dog's form and function. I've often had my classes and I'll hand them a book on their breed and say, you need to know this stuff before you even come to compete with your dog.
Good point. It's not just because it was a famous dog. It's the best picture of side gate. You know, this picture is iconic.
The picture became iconic. The dog was famous, but the dog was famous because he was that iconic.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really fun. But really, 3 a day, 8 to 6, you're not going to learn anything by the third seminar.
Yeah.
So we played hooky. I wasn't the only one that played hooky on the last. So you don't get your 3 points. You can get down and learn something on the floor and get those 3 points somewhere else. And I'd rather do that. And had a great time. And I watched breeds with Ken. I watched Springers with Ken. He's had a few Best in Show winners in that breed.
You know, he's been with someone who had a million of them.
Yeah, he sure has. Dick Cooper. Ken Murray, this is me. And he worked for Dick Cooper as a kid and others. But yeah, and, you know, you're sitting there talking with people and you're rattling off bones from dogs from the 60s. And, you know, remember the rear on, you know, whatever light brigade or whatever. And, And I remember everything about him. And that's just, I don't know how you can teach that. That's just background information that helps you form your templates. And, but a fine time was had by all. There are hardly any spectators there, of course. It's just, I don't even know where the gate is or the door is. But there are plenty of people who are dog people that are spectating, that's right. For sure. But they make a big deal of the owner handler. This is the finals for the National Owner Handler Series, which has really gotten big. So they have all those breeds and groups in Best in Show. Same for the puppy stakes. And there's a bred by groups in Best in Show too. I really love watching the National Owner Handler Series groups in Best, which I was able to do on Saturday night before the finals, before the regular finals. And maybe this is picky because I want to say this is a great event and they do everything right. But National Owner Handler Series gets a lot of lip service and a lot of publicity, and as it should. And these people are out there. And I can tell you that in the groups, the owner handler groups that were there, they're full of Best in Show and group winners, regular group and Best in Show winners. This is real. This isn't just, you know, some minor league. This is really good dogs in there. And these are very competitive. Now, the Best in Show winner for the regular show gets $50,000. The Best in Show owner handler finals for the end of the year series, $1,000. I guess that's the way they see it. And I'm certainly not going to, I don't even know if I like cash prizes at all. Mm. But if you can get 50
to one. It is a draw to some people, though. So.
Yeah, but do you give 50 to one and 1,000 to another?
I know. Yeah, we used to have a show up here, the Canadian, I think a pro plan sponsored it. And it was $10,000 for Best in Show. But it was broken down into divisions, the handler, the breeder, and the owner.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah. And there was a little tiny rosette, too. For owner handler Best in Show finals, you know, not anything you would expect for such a big thing. You know, not picking nits, but that's one thing that kind of hit me. Like, really?
Well, yeah, because it's the sport is built around them, and I agree with you. I think they need a little more. I guess they. You can look at the side that they have a chance of winning the big one as well.
Maybe you make it 40 and 5. So you can do the bread by, you can make their money more even. I don't know. I hate money prizes. I think you get 5,000 dogs at that show without money prizes. It's great. It's great for TV. The big, what's the golfer guy with the big check? Happy Gilmore checks.
Yeah.
It makes for great media.
He's a hockey player, not a golfer.
But you're never going to make. No one's going to be happy with the way you distribute it. I guess I shouldn't even bother.
Except for the winner.
Give him a big rosette. I mean, it's it's a lot of dogs you'd be getting there all year long.
Exactly.
So good stuff. Getting back to the coughing of the seminars, there are a lot of people who left there with COVID and the flu. You know, we don't have our guard up anymore. And the last year I brought home a beautiful gold necklace for Cheryl. And this year I brought home the flu.
So probably wasn't the same response, was it?
Which in my case went to pneumonia, which made Cheryl even really, I got to take care of this lump for 2 weeks now. But I was thrilled that I did not test positive for COVID because I did have dinner with someone who did. So evidently. But anyway.
But it was rampant down there. It even seeped up here. Like I do a bunch of classes up here, and a lot of them had to cancel because they were in Orlando and they were so sick. So
yeah, and there were shows in Pennsylvania that week. Same thing happened there. So who knows? I guess it's part of our world now.
No, it is. It
really
is.
If you're not feeling well, and if you're hacking and coughing and sneezing, this woman's everyone turned and stared at this woman, and she announced to the class, I tested negative for COVID. Yeah, and I thought, but you test negative for the flu and for RSV and just the common cold? Guess what? I don't want your cold either. I don't want your common cold either.
Show some respect to people. But
really, get up and leave or put a mask on or do something. Go sit in the back of the room with your mask. Sick of it, Will.
I can tell. Disrespect for each other. Grinds my gears by Wayne Kaplan.
Grind my gears, man. But the breed competitions were awesome. They were so much fun to watch, and some new dogs that were really exciting. And that's what you hope for, right? You hope to get in there and see some new ones. Hey, Fan Yu had a sculpture booth set up, which was beautiful. And he showed his own wire fox
terrier. He's so much fun to watch, isn't he?
Great. And he was so happy with his wins with his wire. That Bill McFadden and Brett, I believe. Such a cool story. So much talent in this sport. Art, design, painters, sculptors, writers. Well, there's only one writer. Well, two writers, me and you. But other than that, there's some pretty good. But there are some real artistic visionary people, and a lot to be learned from all of them. So, yeah, great time was had by all. Boy, they don't miss a trick. You know, they know how to put on a dog show. Every detail is taken care of. They really, it runs like a Swiss watch, and it's just, it's kind of cool to watch and see. Yeah, you don't have the historical vibe of the garden or any of that, but it's kind of like the Breeders' Cup compared to the Kentucky Derby. You know, the Derby's got the history and the panache and the history of being the oldest continuously held sporting event in the country, but the Breeders' Cup gets a lot of interest too. And it's hard to believe this is the, I don't know. I always think this is the third one that was ever held. It's probably been 20 of them.
Yeah.
It seems like a new event to me.
But just like any other, when you get people in that confined space for that, well, not confined, it's huge, but the same event for that long. Like we hadn't really touched on it, but I started getting emails and posts about, again, sportsmanship, Wayne. You know, it's I don't know why. I guess it's just a thing we have to live with now, but some people have it, some people don't. But I guess there was some incidences with some wickets down there. I wasn't there, but I saw the posts where people were calling wickets on puppies that were what novice owners handled. Well, that's, come on. Let's have some common sense, people. These people are new and they've got a dog and they're trying to learn and.
Yeah,
it makes us it scares people away and makes us become elitist. Need that. You know, and that kind of celebration down there with 5,000 dogs, it shows how much passion we all have for the sport.
Yeah,
and it could have been 5,002 if they 5,004 5,000. I could just go on and on and on. And if people would just, I don't know what it is, but they get so bent and a shape on what they're trying to achieve in their own breed that they forget about the feelings of other people.
Yeah. And if you're trying to impress people who know, guess what? We found your dog, even though it didn't win.
Exactly. Exactly.
We found him. And we'll remember that dog. We won't remember the win. We'll remember that dog. So bring your best, try your best, and hope for the best.
A lot of ways. I so wish that social media didn't hit our sport, though, because sometimes you get it, you go on there and it just, I block people because it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth and for no reason except for a selfish reason. You know,
you cough at a seminar, blocked.
Yes.
Yeah, it's too bad. And there was more than one incident of it down there. And I understand the intensity and the passion that makes people, because we're all guilty of it, and our youth anyway.
And again, that's what it comes down to is, like, I'll see these younger people doing it. I think, why aren't they doing that? And I try to put myself in their position when I was 22 or 23, and I may have done the same thing. I don't know. I hope that I was a little more, you know, nicer about it, a little nicer about it. But
where you apologized, or and I can tell you what we didn't do, Will. We didn't go back home and Captain Sweatpants in the basement with the ski and type about it and post it on Facebook. No,
exactly. I would stew about it on the way home, and that would be it.
Exactly. The argument ended right there. And now it gets its own, it gets momentum by getting on the internet and continuing your argument in public, which makes you look like an ass.
Exactly. A bunch of keyboard warriors. I remember one time driving home from a dog show, Wayne, and it was something silly that had happened. Another handler had beaten me in some way, and I thought it wasn't above board because I was 22. And I made myself feel better because I could see them ahead of me in my truck. I passed them.
Yes.
screw them. I'm home before them now.
And the wheels didn't fill off the winner prize either. So you got right by them. No problem.
Like the wind, Wayne.
The winner prize, ladies and gentlemen, was Will's old van, truck, cube truck. Cube van, what do you call it? Box trucks, whatever. That was just a classic. He loved it. He still does, I think. I still hear him waxing poetically.
I still see it once in a while in town.
Wow. That's amazing. It ran for 10 million miles. It was quite the machine. So to see it pass someone else is even better.
Yeah, sometimes at the end, it didn't pass many people. The dog ship winner prize. These are the voyages, the dog ship winner prize.
Oh, the stories and oh, the dogs.
Yeah.
Last time I saw her, I guess, is when you took her to the old place with Miss P.
Yeah.
And you came up the driveway and you made it. It was very prized, very, very proud of you. Well done.
And she had wounds. She had all kinds of things happen to her. Just put duct tape over them.
That's right. That's all you need. I've been watching, I haven't been able to do a whole lot since I got back. So I've been watching that television thing that I hate, but I found some quality stuff. And I don't know their names, but they started it. They're from Texas and they fix houses. Joanna, somebody. And she started her own network called Magnolia Network, and it's on Discovery Plus. You want to see quality TV, extraordinary camera shots and angles. They look like feature movies and they're half hour fix it up specials. But they take houses and make them into absolute pearls that were in disarray. And I think of the winner prize, Will. I think if we could get it back and put it on that show.
I know exactly where it is.
Right in the museum. It's where it belongs.
I know exactly. I always thought one of my dreams, Wayne, was to have the winner prize in my front yard and just put a sign up that said tours. And people would come. People would come, and then they'd step upon the winner prize, and the memories would rush over them like a fresh spring rain. And they would say, well, how much is it, sir? I'd say, it's only $5. And they gladly hand me $5 to tour the winner prize.
You're going to get me coughing.
People will come, Wayne.
They will come. I was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Jim Edwards. God, I miss him. I did a Bloodhound seminar. How did I not think of Jim Edwards the whole time, by the way?
Yeah.
I was in the class, whatever you call it, a student in the Bloodhound class. And, there was one time she mentioned his name and I lost it. I had to get up and take a little walk. Miss him so much. But anyway, Jim and I were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they had Johnny Cash's tour bus in the parking lot. And for $5 or probably $20, whatever it was, you got to go in Johnny Cash's tour bus. And it was great, but it doesn't hold a candle to the winner prize.
Probably
if you
very
took
similar.
That to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, maybe they let you put it in the main floor in Orlando next year.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, and have people go through.
Yeah.
I can tell you the Bluebird, if we could still...
Yeah, sure, that would outdo the winner prize.
The Bluebird, ladies and gentlemen, was the bus that I worked on and many others. It was Bob and Jane Forsythe's bus. It was a Bluebird bus converted to just carry 50 dogs or so. And it was extraordinary. And I don't know what, how many thousands of Best in Shows went through that bus?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And cans of Schlitz beer and stories, you know. Gosh, that was something. Bob would get in that front seat and you'd sit in that little dinette behind him. And
get me a beer.
And off we went.
Get me a beer.
And off we went. And he had this letter that couldn't have been any more wrinkled and old, saying that it was a camper. It was designed so he didn't have to pay the truck tolls for the bus. And he whipped out that letter and show the toll booth man every single time so he'd get the discount. good time. I learned a little bit on that bus. By the way, we had so many good Irish setters go through there. And I got to watch Irish setters with Ken Murray, too.
Oh, now, that was fun. Yeah.
If there's not someone who knows that breed, you want to watch with Ken. And by the way, he's never judged the Irish Setter National.
I know. And he has an Irish Setter history book. He knows everything about the Irish Setter.
It's unbelievable.
Every dog, he could tell you that like it was yesterday, you know.
He sent me a picture yesterday. He sends me old pictures all the time of Irish Setters. No captions. He just sends me the picture. I usually know who it is. Sometimes I'll ask and I'll get the full story. Yeah. He sent me a cool picture of a bull terrier that he had done a lot of winning.
Oh, with. I saw that picture. What a great picture. Uh-huh.
That's super.
Cigarette hanging. Yep. He was a cool guy.
Absolutely.
He still is.
Back in the day. But good stuff. Anyway, I think of Orlando as an educational event because there's a tone of it because of the seminars. There's also a tone of it because of the depth in the classes. And there is something to be said to have class entries there too.
Yeah.
Because you can find that young dog, that puppy, and earmark it and take a look next year and see how it turned out. So there's plenty of educational opportunities if you take advantage of them. And they're certainly casual. Every time I sit with Elliot and talk about English setters, you know, that's another way to jar my memory and etch some more stuff in the brain. And the same with Ken and Irish setters or Springers and Clay about terriers. And I mean, there's so many learning opportunities. And you just can't get that without having big breed entries.
Well, I remember Clay. Well, it's like their puppy stakes they have there, the puppy of the year stakes. It's amazing, like how then you can watch those dogs go on. Like I remember the year Clay did puppy sweeps, that wired puppy. He ended up number one dog all breed up here. That puppy, it's just fun to watch.
That's the fun stuff. So next year, instead of three seminars a day, I'll take the two and take the afternoon and go downstairs. Or I don't even know what seminars are if it's nothing. But I took seminars and breeds I never intend on judging.
Yeah, well, that's important.
I just want to know.
For sure.
I'm not in there for the points. I don't care if I get the certificate. I just want to know.
So I want to know, too. I was going through, as I was purging, I was going through all my judges' stuff. And I have judges' education on Cavaliers and Pekingese. Well, I don't know when I'm going to do toys. I just wanted to know, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? You know, I don't ever plan on judging Beaucerons, but I don't know enough about them. If there's a seminar coming up, I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you want to? Anyway, there is a lot of, it's not cheap. If you're going to fly down there and do those seminars and do 10 of them, which I think is your max, that's going to cost you a week in a hotel, a flight down there, the seminar fees, all that good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, one of the classics in the sport that never gets a shout, Paula Spector, she worked at the AKC when I did. I think she worked there before it was there. She's been there forever. And she arranges the luncheons for all the details of the plan. And you want to see someone pull it together for AKC judges dinners and just details and things? Man, Paul is unbelievable. Oh, and another big thing. I went to the Canine Health Foundation dinner. in, I sat with the OFA folks, with Eddie and Eddie Zook and Fran Smith and some great people there. And they did their, I apologize for not knowing the name of the award. It's something like Hall of Fame or Person of the Year or whatever it might be. And it was Mary Beth Neal. And if you don't know Mary Beth, you shouldn't be in the sport. We grew up together, you know, junior showmanship, and we worked together at the AKC. Yeah. She runs the junior program and many other things.
Oh, didn't they get a huge entry there too?
They sure did.
Day of juniors, basically.
Yep. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's Maribeth. That, you know, when we were in it as kids, Maribeth and I, you didn't know who was judging or when. You just wrote your name down if you won, and some magazine guy took inventory. But
there are 100 plus entries in junior handling there.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. To see Maribeth win that award was a highlight of the week for me. She so deserves every award there is. And it was so much fun to be there and watch her. Her sister was there, which was cool, to see her win the award or accept the award, which was terrific. And she continues to do programs down there that are just off the charts. So tip of the hat to Maribeth.
Well, there was people talking about it, that they actually felt that juniors should have one day to themselves because no one could watch them.
Yeah.
Because they're already so busy. But it's a thought, because 100 juniors, anybody that's mentoring a junior or a parent, they want to watch and they want to see them.
Well, the Garden was the same when I was a kid. They just hold you up in those hockey room dressing rooms and you came in, and it just seems like it was just a blast of so many dogs and people. And it was, you're in and you're out, and it was a lot of dogs. But yeah, there's people who want more attention for every part of the sport. And that's the kind of passion we want. People that are,
On the broadcast, did they announce who won junior handling?
Well, I wasn't always there, Will. You know, I was in those seminars. And the broadcast itself, the TV broadcast? I don't know, but I hope so. Now, the broadcast that we watched is not going to be the broadcast, I hope, is not going to be the broadcast that we see tomorrow on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know about it, on NBC, I believe, is broadcasting the show this year on New Year's Day. I'm sure it will be an edited and recut with more B-roll and things.
Yeah.
Maybe different announcers. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they'll probably just do voice to tape where they watch the show and then add voice to it for commentary. But it was really, I think it's a big step. I don't think they've done it before.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So that's, and by the way, Royal Canin or Royal Canin, depending on who you talk to, what a great job they do. And by the way, they put up the prize money in the Rosettes. So good on them. They're a great sponsor and they do a great job. And their representatives, I don't know, he's the CEO or whatever, gave some speeches at the dinners I was able to attend. And boy, oh boy, he was terrific. He was great and he gets it. So well done, Royal Canin or Canin. Not Royal Canine, we know that. See the Canin.
Not Royal Canine.
How do you say it, Will?
Canin, I say Royal Canin.
Yeah, and Jeff Brown, who worked there, says Royal Canin, so that's good enough for me. Oh, and a shout out to Jeff and Peggy. They had a good weekend with their Scotty, and it was just good to see everybody. I mean, you see so many people. It was really fun to be able to. I saw Peggy there and many, many others. Many, many others. So fun. And watching Scotties, boy, oh boy, that breed is fun to watch.
Oh,
and you've got so many good breeders and handlers in there and owners and
trimmers. It was like that across the board by the looks of things. It was like that across the board for the breeds to watch. Everybody was there. And the depth just seemed like was that was the part I missed the most. Like, I miss hanging out with all you guys, but I would love to have sit there and watch the depth on those breed rings.
Yeah. I think I'll do it different next year. I think I won't get in as early. I'll still leave Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. That's the way to go, because you're done by Saturday night. And so many people do. Now, if Sporting and Hound was on Sunday, I'd stay for it. But if the way it worked out, it was Sporting and Hound on Saturday, so I had an early flight out Sunday. I was done. I was there for 7 days.
Well, I'll be there next year for sure, Wayne. I'm not going to miss
it. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is sorry about that. I think I just disconnected a call. That's okay. Someone hit my credit card again, evidently. This is not fun. Anyway, okay. Anything else, young William?
Nope. I was going to check and see where you're going next. And if you're feeling up to it these days, do you have anything on the horizon?
Well, I hope I feel up to it. I've got a wedding in New Jersey to go to that I'm a little afraid of. In just another week or so. And then Ken Murray shows at Grays Lake, which I'm really looking forward to. That's a great assignment. I'm looking forward to that. That's the end of January. Mm-hmm. And for February, I've got a Fred Askins great show, Maryland Kennel Club, and the Tallahassee shows of Leah. That are shows that I really love and enjoy going to. So that'll be it for January and February. And then I hope I get a nap. I just hope I can get, you know, feeling good enough to do it all.
You sound better than you did when I called you earlier. So
yeah, well, I wish I could feel better, even better. Damn it! Thanks, buddy. Anything else?
No, I'm off to Palm Springs.
Oh, that's right.
Next week,
tough weather.
Yeah, Palm Springs. Gonna hang out with some Beagle people. I'm looking forward to it. There's a Beagle specialty and a Hound specialty, and we're just gonna enjoy ourselves and talk Beagles for a few weeks. So,
boy, that'll be fun. I miss Beagles down there. So, I envy you. Well, that'll be fun out there, and you've sure got some good Beagle people out there. So,
yeah,
that'll be great fun. And then, where else after that? You going to BC?
I'm going to BC. I leave tomorrow to BC. I'm going to go visit Jamie for a couple of days, my son, Jamie Alexander. And then I'm going to Sherry Burnt Smith, who I breed Beagles with, and she's our own Beagles with. We're going to go to Palm Springs and look at all the new stuff and decide which direction everything's going to go. And we have a young puppy we're going to start. It's going to be fun.
Will be fun for sure. And by the way, BC for all you Americans is British Columbia.
British Columbia.
It's over in the west coast of Canada, right?
That's right.
North of Washington State.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's also home. When I get home, I have an assignment beginning of February, but it'll be my final full sporting assignment before I get full approval on the sporting group, and then. Well, off to hounds.
Good. Hey, maybe you can take some of those English setter specialties. Every time I get too many in one year, I don't want to spread that. So I've been throwing your name in the hat because I kind of want to come watch you. Damn it.
That'd be fun. That's what I would do.
Yeah. All right. Take care, right, buddy. Have a good
look after yourself.
And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And we have New Year's coming up. So happy that too. Happy New Year's. Happy. Oh, and by the way, I hope you all stayed safe during the winter storm. So,
That was pretty intense, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. It was.
Even for up here, we had to put our coats on.
Yeah, I know. I got so harassed by people saying, "Oh, that's why I live in California. You know, we don't have to put up with those blizzards." And one person saying, "Well, you know, I don't want to live anywhere where you can die if you're outside for half an hour." That happens maybe once or twice every couple of years.
Yeah.
And a big blizzard like that, maybe once a year, if that.
It was serious this year, though, I'll tell you that.
This was a big one. But you know what we don't have? Earthquakes, fires, tsunamis, dust storms, all that stuff. So, it's a little chilly for a couple months. We have to put our sweaters and coats on for a couple of days. But other than that, we love it.
And there's nothing better than sitting in front of the fireplace watching a hockey game. Seriously. Yeah.
But all that said, I still want to move to Sonoma. I'm tired of it, Will. Tired of the cold weather. All right, bud.
All right. Take care, everybody. Stay safe out there. We'll see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie. I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself damn seriously.
Hit it.
Under my feet. Stranger
things.
I'm on the road. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold back.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable, though? with that in, Doc.
And I don't want to see it on a blooper anywhere.
Nailed it.